Nathan, did all the other medics in our program now pay for their own way to do all that?
No.
Oh,
Our
okay.
medics, they way Sean has always emphasized hiring through Medic One, and the program's always been funded by Medic One. They've never charged us. Historically, we've not always paid the stipend while they go to school, but that is the standard practice amongst agencies that send people. We don't necessarily have to cover the whole cost of living. And I think the stipend, which I'm proposing, 40 to 50 thousand, and you have to make sure they have to have insurance through us during the whole time. So they would be an employee on our records, and we pay them money. We just wouldn't get any labor out of them until they're done. And so the 40 to 50 thousand number that I'm considering, and that I believe we can afford, would significantly defray costs, but they would likely need to still come up with some funding. And it's a very intensive program. I mean, it's 2 months. That's a little less intense than 8 months. Basically, you might make it back to the island a few times.
So we would have people apply. This would be a competitive application potentially for people.
So we do the skills testing every other year, and we have done the skills testing last year because Carl had intended to send someone and then didn't end up doing it. So we already have a list of candidates. So all of the logistics, practical, you know, parts of this I can deal with, but it's a big expenditure the board have to agree to. And it's, I expect the total liability for employing an additional medic would be around $100,000, because you pay wages and benefits and whatever else. It adds up. Employees rarely realize how expensive they are. You know, you tell people they're going to make $55,000. They tend to not realize that you're actually spending $90,000 on them. Anyway, that's what I estimate. I'll get you better numbers. But I think we need to pursue this. I'm not 100% saying we have to do this. There's certainly room to say, well, you know, maybe next time. But and I'm not even 100% sure the opportunity will be available to us. It's first come, first serve. We did file a letter of intent. But that's where I'm leaning. There are really two things I think that play a really significant role in this. One is integration. The other is whether we bring the medics into the station. And if we bring the medics into the station, I think we basically have to do this. I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
Nathan, I'm just curious. When you said we have to guarantee a job, and we don't know at this point what we're doing with integration, but you're saying fire supports this.
I'm saying that Norvin has told me he's supportive. And I asked him if that was okay to share, and he said that it was. He's supportive of this. And I mean, that may or may not matter to you. I don't know. But in my mind, it's an important consideration, because if we were to integrate, this person would likely be working for him. Mm-hmm. And I would probably even go so far as to have him sign the contract as well, that one of us will employ this person.
Mm-hmm. That would be a nice guarantee.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be a great thing to assure that Fire would be willing to do that. And I completely support it. I think, you know, our own EMTs to be able to have the opportunity to be trained as a paramedic in Seattle, which is, like, I think one of the best training programs in the nation, would be phenomenal. I mean, that's just a win-win all the way around. So, I mean, how exciting for one of our EMTs to be able to do that. So
they turn out fantastic medics, the very best. We've seen that here. Our medics are fantastic.
Yeah.
They're very well regarded, excellent care providers, and part of that is Medic One, and part of that is Weishan, because Weishan's fantastic. So, but it's you know, you can certainly hire on the open market, but you know, people may move to the island, decide they don't like it. You know, I mean, and they may not have as high a level of training. And you lose that incentivizing structure that we give to our volunteers, where, you know, you're a part of our agency and anything is possible if you come be with us. and be a part of our agency. Mm-hmm. Because this opportunity is open equally to volunteers and staff EMTs. Mm-hmm. Two of the people on our list are volunteers. And what does that say? I mean, it says that, you know, you're really an integral part of our agency and you matter to us.
Yeah.
So I think the decision tonight is the board sufficiently interested for me to put in the staff time and effort to work this out? There's going to need to be a contract. There's going to be, I mean, there's lots of stuff that goes into this. It's time and effort. If the board is a hard no on this, then we kind of need to let these people know as well. I mean, I need to talk to these people and tell them, look, this is on, and I think this is going to happen. And you need to think about whether you really want to do it. And if they all come back and they're like, we're not interested anymore, then we need to do another skills test. So it's the kind of thing where I'm not asking you to make a final decision, but nevertheless, the decision to move forward tonight is a significant one. And I think that's one of the reasons why I did the pretty comprehensive financial analysis in our year-end report. Because I think it's important to look at, you know, what are our revenues likely to be over the next few years? I believe we can't afford this. And I've evaluated the different vulnerabilities that our agency has, the holes that need to be filled. And there are lots of things I would love to do, lots of holes I would like to plug, but we have limited resources. And at this point in time, I would like to take this seriously and do the full evaluation of it.
And we would have to amend our budget to provide for this.
You don't have to amend the budget, but you'd have to pass a resolution that authorizes the expenditure. Okay. Because it's unbudgeted money.
I feel that it's an investment in the agency and it's an investment for the community. It's something that you're recommending. So I support it.
I definitely support it. Too. Yeah.
Should we make a motion and then discuss?
No, you don't need to make a motion. I'm just looking for feedback. It's part of my report. I'm just looking for your input on things that I'm working on and dealing with.
Everett, how do you feel about this?
Yes, I think it's actually very important that we have medics in station. I hope we're working towards that. And if we do that, I think it's also extremely important that we have a fifth medic. And so I think this would be very important. And so I would be very strongly in favor of that. The only fear that I would have, and Nathan says that the fire would be supportive of this, because I feel the one thing that has been missing with one of the things that was missing in our talks with fire was we wanted a commitment with them from them that they would take our personnel over in integration, and they stopped short of saying of actually committing that they would take all. And I was very much afraid that it was the medics that they would not take over. And so if that was the case, you know, that they wouldn't take four, I would really worry that they wouldn't take five. So I would want really a clear commitment, if we are going to integrate, that they would take all five medics.
I mean, that is
something that's got to happen, because otherwise, how can we commit to this person? And then the other thing is the person who is trained, do they have to work as a medic for us for a period of time, and like for a year or 2 years as a medic, in return for their stipend for the training? I mean, that's,
they would need to make some kind of agreement with us that, you know, say, you know, if they leave within a year, they have to pay back the stipend or something like that. I don't know what's legally permissible.
I was just curious about that, but I mean, but the concept of having a fifth medic, I think, is excellent, and for sure, we need that if we have medics in station, but I still see, as always, integration is a roadblock. It just has the potential to screw everything up, which is why it has to be settled by the end of March. one way or the other, clock is ticking. I mean, one way or the other, we're going to know by the end of March. I mean, this is just absolutely not going to go on forever.
Yeah,
there's going to be a clear path and signed agreements and, like stuff that's going to be clear. In which case, if we have that, we can go ahead with this with the fifth medic, and boy, I'd be 100% behind it.
Yeah, thank you for that, Everett. And to be clear, the fire district has told me they will take our medics. So and then they realize they need to take the bargaining unit. I think that they're likely to want the medics in station, though. So you know, those two issues, how we handle ALS provision and then integration, are pretty key issues in this. I think you've clearly touched on that.
That'd be great. That was stuff that was missing in our conversations with them, in agreements with them, that I'm delighted to hear that.
Thank you.
Kyle, do you want to weigh in on this at all?
No, I support what others have said. It sounds like this is a prudent step forward. I just want to make sure, too, as we're talking about it going forward, that we've ensured it's financially prudent as well, and that we're running the numbers and seeing that that plays out and is consistent with our goals and plans as well.
Yeah.
Agreed. And there needs to be an analysis, and I will give you the numbers. And we'll also work out, you know, what is this going to cost the agency over 5 years? Or, you know, like we'll do some more comprehensive work on this and continue to talk on it. But all of that takes time. So I appreciate the informal guidance that you guys are okay with expending effort on this. Because it's you know, it's a big deal to people. We're essentially offering a new job. And it's a big deal to people in our agency because it's the best job we offer in this agency. And so, I mean, better than mine. So, I mean, it's a really, really good job. And it's, so yeah, it's a big deal. And so people are going to want to know the details, and even bringing it up involves a certain amount of, I don't know what the word for it is, but like a certain amount of, I don't know, a little bit of cost to it, I guess. You know, like it's a big deal to people. So if you put that kind of carrot out there and, you know, you're not actually serious about it, it's a problem. It's not something you want to undertake lightly. I guess two other things I want to talk to you about. One is, I think we need to think seriously about the civil investigative demand again. The civil investigative demand, I don't want to be dealing with that the year of our levy renewal. I just don't. It's taken a long time. I appreciate that the longer it takes, the less money we end up having to pay. But I also don't want to deal with this next year. Whether it's a levy renewal cycle or an integration process, I just don't want to be dealing with it. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, are you comfortable with me going ahead and reaching out to our attorney, Jim Fredman, and trying to pursue that? Or are you guys wanting to leave it alone?
Do you want to set up a meeting with Fredman and you and Kyle?
Are you guys okay with that? I mean, because if you want to wait this out and that's your intention, then there's no point in doing that. And I'm not saying you have to make a final determination now, but again, if we're going to start looking at it, that's kind of a decision of its own.
My thought is that 2022, if you think we'll get it resolved by then, that seems optimistic. You know, it'll, you know, maybe 2025. I don't know. This thing is dragging on, and it has dragged on for quite a while. Obviously, we're not the ones in charge of the process. We've been responding very promptly every opportunity we've had. And so, yes, I think we could have that conversation. I don't think any of us want this hanging over our heads. So we could talk with a lawyer and say, okay, how do we goose the state to actually get them to pursue this? But at the same time, you know, I have kind of mixed feelings too, right? Because it's challenging people to come after you for money is not something that is in my nature, I guess. I don't know.
Go ahead.
No. I think I've said enough on that. But I think having a status check would be a good idea. It has been a long time since we've heard anything. And we'd like to have, if nothing else, at least some sort of communication with the state to say, where are you in your process? And what are the timeframes? What is the time frame that we can expect some sort of answer or resolution?
We can just, I don't know if this is possible, but it seems likely that we could just accept the settlement offer. Whatever the last one was. I mean, I assume that it expired at some point, and we basically had our attorney continue to negotiate with them. But without getting into any details of executive sessions and whatnot, but I just don't want to be dealing with this during a levy cycle. I just don't. But you're right. We may not have the option. So.
Well, why don't you check in with Fredman and run that by him and see what his feedback is.
Okay.
Yeah. I understand it's hard having this hanging over our heads, but when you look at it, they don't have much of a case. They've kicked it down the road so many times to different attorneys that it's clearly not a priority, but it is hard to have that liability hanging over our heads, especially when we're focused on, you know, growing the agency and providing services to the community. So yeah, it'd be nice to know what our liability was actually going to end up being there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say I'm interested in resolving it, but I'm not necessarily so interested that I'm going to sacrifice our local tax dollars in some way to do it. So I just want to make sure we get to a resolution that everybody thinks is fair as a result of that. And we've been trying to provide responses as quickly as we can, I think very promptly when the state has reached out to us. So I am frustrated that they have been unwilling to continue the dialogue in any sort of prompt manner.
Okay. That's clear enough. Okay. So we'll check in with Fredman and see what the deal is. The last thing I wanted to talk about was...
quick note, I do see a hand up, and I'm not sure if it's on that topic.
It's Pam. There it is.
It would be nice to go ahead and get that status with Fredman, because the auditors are going to ask for one anyway before we close our audit. So as well go ahead and get it started.
Okay. Status for the audit. Great.
Okay. The last thing is, I think we need to consider paying down our building. We've got a lot of money in our bank account. It looks like we're really well funded. But the truth is, you know, like almost all of it, like we did this in the 2020 revised budget. We basically listed out, here's our liabilities, you know, employee outstanding PTO time, building debt, you know, the SID. We listed them all out. And as you list out our liabilities, that amount of money in the bank just looks smaller and smaller. But the problem is, as we head towards levy renewal cycles, integration processes, whatever it is we end up doing, we've got a lot of money in the bank, and it looks like we've got more than we do. And I am wondering if we should consider paying down the building, because it's also an outstanding sort of debt that if we engage in an integration process, it can have to be resolved one way or another as well. I think the total cost of it, if we were to just pay the whole thing off, would be, what, $620,000 or something? Something like that. We looked at it in the capital improvement plan. I don't know if we necessarily have to pay the whole thing off, but I'm wondering if we pay it at the current rate, it expires in 2026. So the levy, the bond itself technically expires 2032. We paid down $800,000 when we sold the medical center. So at the current rate, we'll have paid it all off by 2026. So I don't know if we do a calculation that says we want to have this building paid off by 2023, the end of 2022, or if we just pay it off now. But I'm thinking that it would be seriously worth considering.
I have a question about whether this is a good thing for like the finance committee to talk about and then work on it in committee and have the details and make a recommendation to the board so that all the details, we don't all have to know all the details, but it might like expedite that. I don't know. Or was it better to talk with everybody here?
Are you getting anxious to be done?
No, actually, I have so many questions about this. It's probably better if we don't make everyone suffer through them. I'm all about paying down debt, but I think probably Gail's point is right that Everett and you and I should sit down and talk about what a payment schedule would look like, you know, whether or not the bank would accept a balloon payment, that kind of thing. So,
and how that fits within our overall finances over exactly. that time period as well. Yeah, it's hard to have that kind of off the cuff conversation here.
The intentionality is not to necessarily resolve things in a final sense, but determine if you're interested in pursuing this. And so we discussed, the issue of sending a student to medic school. We're obviously not going to decide that tonight. We discussed the issue of the SID, and now we discussed the building. And we've agreed to go ahead and start working in committees and on two of those issues. And then on the third issue, I'm going to present a proposal to you. So my intention tonight is to see, is this something you're interested in at all in the first place? Because these take time, and I have to determine how to expend my own time and resources, and also staff resources. So they're important considerations. I think that's all I had. I can launch into the 2020 year in review if you'd like, unless you have more questions.
I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. I kind of defer discussion of finances to this because the December financials are sort of the year-end view financials. I didn't want to kind of go over them twice. So if you just bear with me a little bit here while I switch to my 2020 statistical report and finance report. So our total revenue for 2020 as of the end of December, right? It doesn't necessarily take into account all of the 13-month stuff, and we'll wait to see. I don't think it's a large amount, but at the beginning of 2020, the district had $1.44 million and $0 in our reserve fund. At the end of December 2020, the district had $1.23 million in our general fund and $300,000 in our reserve fund. So just on that basis, we did well this year. Additionally, there's $343,000 in an investment fund. That investment fund can be liquidated by just an email. It just takes a moment. And having talked it over with the county and stuff, it appears that we can just track that in our cash. So we may do that in our revised budget, just add them together. We're doing well. Our revenue for 2020 was $2,393,471. And I take out the beginning cash. This is what we earned during the year. This is what we got during the year. If you look on our revenue reports from the county, it's going to include your beginning cash, which is a little misleading because, we started with beginning cash, but it's not what we earned in the year. So this is actually what we generated in the year. And it's a combination of things, as ambulance fees, ACH funding, some of its transfers from the hospital district to cover Pam and I's income, at least until December. Now I'm paid through EMS. We got $129,539 in GEMT funding, which was about half of our revised budget projection. It's really not very much. Our property tax levy, $1,559,469. And then our ambulance service fees were $393,048. So we did pretty well the last 3 months of 2020. Our expenses were $2,609,317. But keep in mind, $300,000 of that was a transfer to our reserve fund. And this year, we only transferred $109,000. So when you're kind of doing a back of the envelope, what are our expenditures like? You can just subtract out about $200,000. So it's like $2.4 million in expenditures, $2.4 million in revenues. were pretty much spot on. So I think we did very well in 2020, especially given the significant decline in revenue. We still managed to do well. I did some financial analysis regarding what the next few years might look like based on the last few years regarding our levy. It's not strictly speaking 2020 year in review, but I think it contextualizes things. Did any of you want to talk about that? Or given the lateness of the hour, should I speak?
I think you laid it out very succinctly. I don't think I need further explanation of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I agree.
Nodded heads. Okay. So moving on to our statistical report. Any questions on the financials? Pam, do you have any comment you want to add?
You're muted, Pam.
I don't have any comment until I get all my information from the county. Thank you.
Okay. Our statistical report, 1,027 runs in 2019, overall 12% decrease over the year. Looks like I might have wrote that wrong.
So it's talking about 2020, you said 2019.
Yeah, I think I wrote that wrong. So there were, no, I did write that right. Okay, never mind. Okay, so 1,027 runs in 2020. But there are 1,154 calls in 2019. So that's a 12% decrease when we've historically seen 10% increases annually on call volume. And that's been a nationwide trend, and actually we've been a little lower than the nationwide trend on that historically. Our response times, our overall average response time for 2020 was 8 minutes and 52 seconds. And that's broken down by zone. Which those zones were set up by past chiefs and the benchmarks as well, but they're drawn from the state standards. So we exceed or meet all of the state standards. And technically, I think our entire island is actually considered rural. So we kind of hold ourselves to a suburban standard for town, but we exceed it. As you can see from our destinations, 458 were transfers to Peace Health. And 205 to Island Air, 98 to Airlift Northwest. So, you know, if you add together Island Air, Airlift Northwest, it's about 300 delivered to the airport and taken out by aircraft, and about 460 to PIMC. Now, that sounds simple. It's not, because you can have the single patient count them multiple times. So you deliver a patient to Peace Health, and then later in the day, you take them to the hospital, to the airport. So, you know, it's a very rough number, to be honest. Based on my analysis, I believe that our district is definitely financially viable going forward. And I don't see any major operational deficits. Our teams are performing excellent. They're getting where they need to be. They're doing a great job. We've been able to handle COVID effectively. And I think they're doing very well. And I'm really proud of them and happy to be part of the agency and to be a part of it. It's been interesting. It's been inspiring. It's been hard. It's been meaningful. But I'm feeling very good about where we're at as an agency. And optimistic about where we can go. Any questions on anything? I'm pretty much done, as you'll be happy to know. I have the ignominious honor of going last, so virtually everyone is counting down words until I am done talking. But if anyone wants to talk more, ask questions away.
I will just make the comment that I feel more informed than I ever have about the goings on at the EMS agency, and I really do appreciate your effort in making sure that that happens for us, and so thank you.
My pleasure. It's a neat job. Thank you for giving it to me.
Thank you, Nathan. I mirror just what Annalisa said. Well, I appreciate your communication and your thoroughness.
Happy to communicate, but they're the ones that do the work and be proud of our team. But I appreciate the plaudits. Sorry for cutting you off. I didn't mean to. Especially since you were praising me. I'm all in favor of
that. Oh, it's great. I think you can see the ways that we can improve what we're doing and that the team can be supported. I mean, we've got a lot of things to look forward to this year. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, commissioners.
And if there's nothing further, I think just as audience participation, I'm not sure if anyone is still hanging on with us.
I think we have two
plus N, yeah, looks like three, maybe.
You could press *6 to unmute yourself.
*6.
I know that there were two people that wanted to comment. If they're present.
Yeah, those two people commented to me while you were in executive session. And so I sent the names to Nathan. I'm not sure whether they're still here or not.
Did they say just that they wanted to comment, or did they have a message for you to pass on to us, Kate?
They said they had something they wanted to comment on. They didn't pass on any message.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't see them unmuting, so they must have left.
Yeah, well, this is a little long, and I understand. Okay, well, thank you, everyone. In that case, this will adjourn our regular meeting. I think
actually, I've got one quick commissioner comment,
yes.
And that is, I just wanted to say, in conjunction with Superintendent Hutchins' retirement, I hope that she and Mr. Butler will work together and put together a plan. It looks like we have a need now to fill and some shoes there as well. So we'll look forward to seeing that. I'd love to see something in February at our regular meeting then, which is already going to be halfway between here and Superintendent Hutchins' retirement.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to do it early in February because we got to hire. If we don't have a plan until the end of February, we won't be able to make a hire until Pam leaves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pam?
I already have been giving the Commissioner Lindstrom some really good names that she could reach out to. There's one candidate that's quite exceptional, and I hope the commissioners reach out to them to see what might can be done. It would be a real... a real step forward, I think, to be able to have this person come on to the district. So, yeah, I've already been thinking, I've already been giving names, and I will continue to work until I am gone.
Thank you, Pam. Appreciate that. And yeah, that's definitely a meeting that we need to sort of get organized. I guess we'll talk about that soon.
We could potentially make it a special meeting if we need to do it sooner. And we should, if we have candidates, we probably should open up. We should have a job description and open it up at some point prior to, you know, obviously let people apply. So we maybe need to do that at some point soon.
Okay, great. Thank you, everyone. Now can I adjourn the meeting? This adjourns the regular meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1. It is 8:25 on Wednesday, January 27th, 2021. Thank you all for your time. See you in a few weeks.
Okay. Take care, everybody.
Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you all. Good night.
Night.